Good evening. It's good to see everyone out in the house of the Lord tonight. We're thankful for another opportunity in which the Lord has afforded to us. And I do greatly desire an interest in your prayers. It's been a long time since I've got to preach, not wearing a shirt and tie and suit and so don't hold that against me tonight. I believe that the Word of God is greater than a suit and tie. And we need to trust in God's Word that it is exactly what we stand in need of tonight. And I want to encourage you tonight, as Brother Jonathan already has, to follow the Lord. I think that's one of our biggest downfalls in this day and age is we are too ashamed to follow the Lord. And we know what the Scripture says about being ashamed of the Lord. It's not a very good thing, so don't be ashamed to let the redeemed of the Lord say so tonight. If God places something upon your heart, you mind the Lord tonight. This is His service. so please pray for us tonight. I need the Lord's help and want Him to receive all of the honor and glory possible tonight. If you have your Bibles and would like to follow along, we're going to begin reading in the 90th division of Psalms, Psalms 90, beginning in the first verse. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, and our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear? So is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The thought that's on our heart tonight is the thread of life. And knowing this thread of life in which we all have experienced and are experiencing, we know that that thread will one of these days be cut. Bible teaches me it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. We all will face death one way, shape, or another. We are all going to die. When a new baby is born into this world, they are growing, and they're existing, and they're starting to grow and giving life, but they're on the process of dying. That's just the way that it is. We are all coming to an appointment with death, and it's very important for us to realize and to look at those things, because every one of us must make preparations before we reach our final dwelling place. I believe, according to the Word of God, that there's either a heaven or a hell that your eternal soul will dwell in. that you're made in the likeness and image of God, and your being will exist on in either heaven or hell. That you are in a dwelling place now. The Bible calls our bodies the temple of the living God, those that have been saved by God's grace, and it's a dwelling place. It houses your soul and spirit, and you have joints and marrow. You have things inside of you that allow you to move and function and breathe and exist. But one of these days, that body is going back to the dust of the ground, is what the Scripture says. But then your soul, your inner man, will live on in either heaven or hell. So it is time at this day, at this time, to seek out the counsel of God, to say, do I know the real wisdom of God? Do I really know what it means to be wise? There's so many people in this world today that think that they are so wise with the knowledge of this world and how that it's puffed them up, and they know so many things about so many things. They know so much. But you know, the greatest thing that you can know tonight is that you know God and the free pardon of sin. I'm talking about really knowing Him and Him knowing you. You see, wisdom can only come, I believe, the true wisdom of God is a gift, and it can only come from God. That wisdom starts with fear. The Scripture is telling us here that to warn and look at our days and number them. But it also says in the Proverbs in the 9th chapter in the 10th verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Do you think a 7-year-old child can be wise? Well, I tell you from my experience, when the Lord convicted me of my sins and let me know I was lost and separated from God, I had enough wise instruction. I had enough understanding to know where to turn to when God dealt with me and God placed a wisdom inside of my soul to turn to God. I want you to know tonight that you can be wise enough to fear God and to turn to Him with everything that you are. But you're going to have to trust in Him. You're going to have to reverence Him. This fear that I'm talking about in the Scripture as it relates to us is a reverence towards God. People don't reverence God anymore. When we got up to sing How Great Thou Art, and I thought of standing up for my God, I thought that's the least that I could do. To stand up and to magnify the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for His honor and His glory and His majesty and all that He's done. In reverencing Him and honoring Him. And if you're ever to have the wisdom that comes from above, the wisdom that grants you eternal life from trusting in Jesus with all your heart, then you're going to have to reverence an almighty God. You're going to have to humble yourselves down into His sight just as you are. That's the wonderful thing about God. He'll take you as you are. He'll take you just as you are, even though you may have sinned against God. You may have done many things to separate you from God's love. I want you to know you don't have to be separated, as we heard in the lesson from Brother Jonathan. Because once you've got the love of God inside of you, there's nothing that can separate you from His love. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Scripture is teaching us here in the Psalms, God's time is not like our time. We don't understand and comprehend God's time. His days, 1,000 years is one day, and we don't understand that with God. And it's like He has given us so many opportunities for lost souls to be saved. 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter tells us that God, because He loves us, because He is long-suffering to us, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I still believe in what Jesus preached in Mark, the 1st chapter. Repent and believe the gospel. That's what you need to do to be saved by God's grace. John the Baptist preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus, in His ministry, preached, repent, For the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and it's still the same message tonight that they preached, is to repent of your sins, to trust in the Lord, and to fear and reverence Him and fall on your face before Him and call out to an almighty God that you might be saved. That's what we desire tonight. That's what God desires. So what He has called us to do is to warn you to number your days, to look at the thread of life to see if you don't need to realize that this could be your last opportunity to be saved. This very night could be. I remember growing up under the sound of the gospel when preachers preached about eternity, and when they preached about leaving this place and not knowing if you were going to make it home, I believed them that they were telling me the truth, because they were telling me the truth, that we may not have another opportunity. You know where that came from? That came from Jesus, is where that came from. Telling people that now is the day of salvation, now is the accepted time, it tells us in the Corinthian letter. But Jesus, in His personal ministry, there in Matthew, the 6th chapter, when He began to think and tell folks, look at your life. Don't worry about the physical things that so many of us are concerned about. There's probably a lot of people that are bothered by the fact that we're listening to a preacher preach in a t-shirt and jeans. But He said, take no thought about the raiment that you wear and the things that you're concerned about. All these things the Gentiles seek after. But He said, I want you to focus on the most important thing, and that's Me. Focus on God tonight. You see, there's many things in this thread of life that we hold dear and that we make sure that we think are very valuable. But when it really boils down to it, it's the things that are eternal that really mean anything. This life is full of so many distractions and so many confusions, as we heard about last night. But I want you to know, if you want to get determined and bound, determined to seek God and to get in the center of His will, then you get one thing right. And you get your heart right with God. You seek Him first. And you fear Him and reverence Him for just as you are. And then all the rest of those things that you're so concerned about. Who you need to marry. About where you need to live. Where you need to work. What you need to do. Those things will just fall into place. I promise you they will. Because God loves you. And He'll take care of you. You won't be the richest person in the world, but you will be in God's eyes, spiritually speaking. Listen, what Jesus said here. He says in the 31st verse of the 6th chapter of Matthew, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In the thread of life, if there's anything that I could preach to you and tell you about tonight, is to seek God for the salvation of your soul. To seek after the true wisdom. Buy the truth and sell it not. Find something valuable to you that's way more valuable than silver and gold. That'll last you throughout this life and the one to come. I'm talking about true riches that Jesus was preaching about. Something that you it stays with you throughout all eternity. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I know, and I've been blessed to have children, and we were talking to them the other day, and they were asking, well, what's going to happen tomorrow? And I kind of told them, you know, well, tomorrow really never comes. It'll be today when we get there. We always want to focus on what's going to happen tomorrow. It's the present day in which we're living in is today. Tomorrow's not going to come. It'll be today when we get there. You see, we can't live on tomorrow's promises. We have today. And I want us to realize the thread of life is short. And I want you to realize tonight, if you're lost in sin, separated from God, you do not have the promise of tomorrow. You have today. And if your thread is cut, you're not going to fly away. You're going to fall off into the pits of hell. And that's where you'll be throughout all eternity, begging God for mercy. We that have been saved, that's what the scripture was saying. God will cut that thread and we'll fly away. And we'll be with the Lord. But he says, listen, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Why is now the time to seek the Lord? Why is right now the time to seek the Lord? Because we know that we do not have the guarantee of tomorrow. We know that. We know that when we look at a graveyard and we see on the gravestones the ages that are there, that they are all ages of people. We know that little children, that they die as infants and as babies. We know about little children that get a little bit older up in years, that they die as well. We know about teenagers that are out on the roads, that our parents are praying for them, that some don't make it home at night. We know about all types of ages of people, and you know that's because death is no respecter of persons, that we're all having an appointment with it. Because God has numbered our thread. He's numbered our days. But now's the time to seek the Lord. Now's the time to seek after Him and to desire Him. Job warned about our time and how that thread is. He said in the 14th chapter of Job, man that is born of a woman is few days, is of few days and full of trouble. I can amen that statement. I'm a young man, but I still understand that from Job, that this life is going to be full of trouble. It is. Everywhere you turn to, you're going to have trouble. Children, you think it's tough now. Just wait till you get on up a little bit further in years. And you think that seeking God would be better sought after as you're a little bit older. That's not the way the scripture teaches. He says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come not, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And don't we see that in this day and age in which we're living in? In our churches, there's not much pleasure. In our younger people and on up in years, even serving God. And I think part of the problem is people didn't remember the Creator in the days of their youth. I'm talking about saved people too. We forget about the Creator and about serving Him acceptably with reverence and fear. But it's time that we seek the Lord. It's time we get back to where God would have us to be. Job said that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower. A flower is a very brittle, it's a very soft type of plant that you see come up. They come up in the springtime, and in just a few short months, you know what happens to those flowers? They wither away. Some of which, without proper nourishment, without the proper watering, they wither away. And even if they are properly nourished, people that live in the world, that have a healthy life, if God allows you to live 70 or 80 years old, don't you know that's a drop in the bucket compared to eternity? If you leave the walks of this life, you're going to die eternally. That means forever and ever and ever. Oh, but those that have been saved, we're going to live on forever too. But listen, a life, your life is just like a delicate and just like a soft flower. It grows up for just a few short years. And it's that thread that's there. And before you know it, it's cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Shadows don't stay around long. They're just up while the sun is up. And when the sun goes down, those shadows go away. That's the way that your life is. It just passes by very quickly. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment unto thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Listen to this scripture in the fifth verse. Seeing his days are determined. I was blessed to try to preach about the determinate counsel of God, something that God had determined in His counsel, in His courtroom, long before the world was ever created, that God sent forth His Son, that He's a lamb slain before the foundation of the world to take away the sin of the world. I want you also to know that your moments and your years in this world are determined. God has set a time for you, and there's a bounds, as Paul said, the bounds of your habitation, so that you cannot pass. You can't do it. It's determined. The number of His months are with thee. Thou hast appointed His bounds that He cannot pass. You know, I hear of different people that maybe have different illnesses, and they're roughly, some of them, given a certain amount of years to live that the doctors think, but they don't really know how long they have. When I read in the scriptures of a man named Hezekiah that became sick unto death, and the prophet came to him and said, "Get your things in order. Your life's about to be over." And so Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and begin to pour out his heart to the Lord and said, "Lord, haven't I lived upright before you? Haven't I tried to serve you acceptably with reverence and fear?" Before the prophet Elijah, before he got out, he came right back in and said, "God's heard your prayer and granted you another 15 years. I begin to thank God for allowing me to try to preach the gospel for almost 15 years. And this may be my last time to preach. I don't know. But I begin to think that, you know, we don't know what opportunities that we have. We that are saved, we better take advantage of telling the world about Jesus while we have it." Hezekiah, he had an opportunity to live 15 more years and serve God. Sometimes I wish God would give us a little vision and help us to realize we don't have that much time. So we need to be about His business. And you that are lost, I wish you'd realize you don't have that much time as well. Even if you live 80 years old, 100 years old, it's not that much time. You better seek God while you have time and opportunity. Listen, God, He's determined the number of our months. They're with Him. He knows those. He has appointed His bounds that He cannot pass. It says, "Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the sin of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth." That's the message tonight. We will die. The thread of life will be cut. Some point or another it will be, and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down. Our bodies go back to the dust of the ground, and riseth not till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave. Job, I was talking to the Lord, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, and thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. Is he going to remember you? He's going to remember me. I believe the Bible teaches us that all will come forth out of the grave. Those that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. And I'm talking about saved people to the resurrection of life, and unsaved, unjust people to the resurrection of damnation, is what the Scripture says. He will not forget one. Those soldiers that died maybe out over sea, those ones that have even been unfortunately just completely mutilated and incinerated, God knows where everyone is, where every part is, and He remembers them. And there's coming a great resurrection day where we that are here will not hinder those that are asleep. We won't. Listen. If a man die, shall he live again? You will die. You will die. Will you live again? Job said, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Job believed that he would live again. He knew that he was going to die. We all know that we have an appointment with death. But are you going to live again or are you going to die again? The Bible calls hell the second death. That's because you die on the first time physically here in this world. And then when you're cast off into hell, you are going to continually die for all eternity. The second death. That's where you'll be throughout all eternity. But we that have been saved, he says here, thou shalt call and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. Job knew that God was going to call his name. You see, God may be calling your name tonight, in that you are lost and separated from him, and he is desiring to make you one of his children. We heard some wonderful singing about being a child of God, how that God, in his love and his mercy, he sent forth his only begotten Son in order for you to be saved by his marvelous grace. We've heard and folks have cried and enjoyed the thinking of how that we are the children of God. You can experience that for yourself tonight. I believe that with all my heart. How do you experience that? You need to come just as you are. Come and seek God with all your heart, just as you are. If you think that there's something that is standing in your way, I'm sure there are many things that would hinder you from being able to get saved by God's grace. We read in the scriptures that so many people had so many boundaries and issues that caused them to not be able to reach God. But God graciously, when they humbled their heart down, removed those obstacles out of their way, and they were able to reach the throne room of God. God wants to get everything out of your way, but you have to desire this more than anything. And when can you do that? I hope and pray you do it while the thread is still intact, because one of these days the thread will be cut. The thread of life will be cut. And when is the time to seek the Lord? Now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time to seek God while you have time and opportunity. You need to come to the Lord just as you are. If you don't know how to seek God, I believe according to the Word of God that His Spirit helps us, that He will help our infirmities and help us to pray because we don't know how to pray, and He will give you the prayer to pray. That's why we don't have these cards up here that say just repeat this prayer and you can be okay, because we believe that God gives people the prayer that they need to pray. That's how He did it for me. I don't know how He did it for you, but He told me what I needed to do and helped me to repent of my sins and to believe in the Lord Jesus with all my heart, because I did not know how to do that. I just came to Him as humble as I knew how and sought Him with all of my heart. Hosea, in the 10th chapter, he says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. When is the time to seek God? When is the time to make peace with God? It's right now. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. If you were laying on your deathbed right now, if you knew that you had a few short moments to live and you weren't right with God, don't you think that you would be begging and pleading and just asking God to save your soul? Don't you think you would? How do you know that this isn't the last few moments of time that you have? How do you know that this isn't the last day here in this world? I don't know that this isn't the last time that I have to preach, so I want to do the best that I can to make sure that you know that Jesus is the only way for you to be saved. That He is the only way. Apostle Peter said, "There, given among men, there's no other name whereby we must be saved." He is the only one that you can turn to. He is the only one that you can lean on and trust in, and He desires to save you. Do you have time? I hope that you make time. There's many that we know that old rich man that he said, well, you know, I've got all that I need for many years. Laid up in store. He said, tear my barns down, build bigger barns. That way I've got all that I need. You know what the scripture says? God said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose things are those going to be? All that you work for, all that you think means things to you in this world. If you die and go to hell, it doesn't mean anything to anybody. When we leave the walks of this life and the thread that we've gotten, if we've worked so hard so that our children don't have to work as hard as we did, if we try so hard to make sure they're better off than we are, and we didn't make sure they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they trusted in Him to the saving of their soul, we have done them no justice whatsoever. We got to keep our priorities in line and focus on the things and the thread of life that actually matter. Put Jesus right in the center of that. Keep Him as that focus, and He'll be with us all the way. So when that thread is cut, He'll go on with us, and we'll go with Him. Tonight is the opportunity that you have. I don't know what you're holding on to. I don't know what you think about all this. I don't know if you understand all this to the full capacity, but I know this. If you are sincere with God and you desire to be one of His children, He will graciously accept you if you come to Him just as you are. And you seek Him with everything that you have, and you plead with Him and you beg Him to save your soul, and you trust in Him, He will help you, because I've experienced it. God will draw you to an altar of repentance. That's what He does, by convicting you of His Holy Spirit. His Word is still sharper than a two-edged sword, and it will pierce inside your soul to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. God knows what is on each and every one of our hearts and minds tonight. He knows that there's probably a bunch of us that say, man, I'm just ready for Him to hush and get to Dairy Queen. He knows their hearts tonight. He knows what's going on, and He knows your heart tonight. But God's Word, when it has pricked you in your heart, when He has shown you that you are a sinner, God does the convincing. He convicts. That's what conviction is. It's convincing someone that they are a sinner and that they need a Savior. So God will convict you. He'll tell you what you need to do, because His godly sorrow will set up in your heart. And then after you feel that conviction, God not only will draw you to Jesus, He will pull you to Him. He will give you the prayer that you need to pray when you come just as you are. And when you have prayed all you know to pray, and you've trusted all you know to trust, His grace, I will grant you the faith to believe in Jesus with all of your being. He will graciously save your soul. You say, what did I do? Absolutely nothing is coming. God is a wonderful, loving, merciful God. He just wants you to come just as you are. We don't know how to help ourselves, because we can't. God has to help us. But He wants you to come. And if you reject Him and don't come, that's your choice. Now's the time. Don't let your thread be cut short. Seek Him while you have time and opportunity. Let's have a song. Have an altar call. If you're here tonight and you're lost, please don't put off salvation too long. One day it'll be too late.